Certainly thankful for Brother Jay's good prayer this morning. And if you have your Bibles and want to turn with me, I'd like to turn to Psalm 34. To peel back the curtain a little bit, every once in a while you intend to speak on one thing, but the Lord changes your mind. And as Brother David was making his opening remarks this morning, my mind was made up as far as what I feel like I need to speak on. And the subject that I want to speak on this morning is one that I think is very appropriate, not only since we're coming out of the Thanksgiving season, but in light of just the circumstances that many of us find ourselves in the midst of the challenges of the pandemic, where it seems like it's just going on and on and on. And we've all had experiences with individuals that have suffered because of it. Some have suffered more greatly than others, even those that have experienced a loss of life. And with all of the other turmoil and upheaval that we experience as just by living in this world, living in our nation and in our communities, I think sometimes we can find it challenging to be thankful like we ought to be. It's easy to be thankful when everything is going our way, when everyone is healthy and we have all the money that we need in the bank and everything is going our way. You know, we're like the cartoon character Garfield. We're easy to get along with as long as things are going our way. But the reality of life is that that's not always the case. So the question that comes up for us as God's people, are we required to be thankful to God when things are not going our way? Or even greater than that, are we commanded to be thankful to God when it seems like nothing is going right in our lives? And Psalm 34 is a psalm that answers that question for us. And I want to read this psalm. It's 22 verses. It's a little bit lengthy, but there's really not a lot of this that we can cut out and get the context. So I want us to read the 34th psalm, and you'll notice that it has a heading. Sometimes when we read through the psalms, we have to challenge ourselves to look at the context, and sometimes we even speculate about the specific context of the psalms. But this one here, we have referenced here in Psalm 34, this psalm of David. It says, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and departed. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But Psalm 34, we'll start at verse 1. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Then verse 12 says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Verse 22, finally, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. We could stop right there, and I think we've already answered our question as to whether or not we're required to praise the Lord when everything is against us, or everything seems to be against us, and things are not going our way, and we're going through great trials and great difficulties. The psalmist David answers that question. We are commanded to praise the Lord in all seasons of life. And again, we read the heading there that kind of gives us a clue as to what was going on. This was the time when David had to feign madness before the king of Gath. And that comes from 1 Samuel chapter 21. And if you remember from your Bible reading, this was the time where David had to flee the land of Israel because King Saul had threatened his life. Now you think all that had happened to David prior to this. David was the one that was the man after, or was the man after God's own heart, that God sent the prophet to anoint him to be king. And you try to think about all of the emotions that David experienced. What was he thinking during that time? He was anointed king of Israel. He was probably extremely humbled. But in his carnal mind, he might have thought, well, things are going to get a lot easier now. And, you know, the way our minds work, we think in fashions that are most convenient, that where things are always going to be good for us. But was that the case with David when he was anointed king of Israel? Was it all smooth sailing after that? Well, we see that David enters the court of King Saul, and we see that God blesses David to slay the giant Goliath, and the women start singing songs about David. Saul slew his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. He was a rising star. But you'll remember that Saul had a spirit that was not of God. He was increasingly more and more jealous of David, and he tried to kill David on more than one occasion, and then it got to the point where David had to flee Israel because his life was in danger. And then in that time frame, Saul and his armies were devoted to pursuing David to take his life. So he's gone from the one that was anointed to be king of Israel now to a fugitive, to the point where he has to go into the land of Israel's enemies. Gath, he goes into this land. And who was one of the significant citizens of Gath that we read about in God's Word? The giant Goliath that he slayed, and that he threw the stone and hit him in the forehead and cut off his head. Now David finds himself at the door of the king of the enemies of the nation of Israel. And in 2 Samuel chapter 21, we see this play out in verse 10. Very quickly it says, David arose and fled that day for the fear of Saul. He was running from Saul and his armies. And it says, he went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands? Verse 12, it says, and David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. David was in such a panic fleeing from Saul. David probably said at this time, I didn't think this whole plan through when I came to Gath. And it says in verse 13, he changed his behavior before him and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. In verse 14, Achish says some of the most truest words that a leader of a nation has ever says. He says, lo, ye see the man is mad, wherefore have ye brought him unto me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? David faked being insane at the gates of this king to save his own hide. And sometimes people will be very critical of David at this time and say, well, David just didn't have enough faith to trust that God was going to see him through. And, you know, it's easy for us to do that from this perspective, but I just want to make the point that David was in a bad place. Everything was going against David, the one that was anointed to be the king of Israel, the one that God had blessed to slay the giant Goliath, the one that the people sang songs about. Now he had to flee his own land, and he had to feign insanity in the land of their sworn enemies. He was at rock bottom. He had nothing. Prior to this, what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 21, we have that heartbreaking parting between David and his best friend in the world, Jonathan. And we have it play out where David is such a fugitive that he leaves in such a hurry. He has no food. He has to go to the tabernacle and beg the priest for food. And the priest gives him the food that's used in the tabernacle. He had to flee so quickly he didn't have a weapon. And he had to take the sword of Goliath with him. And he gets to Gath and they recognize him. This is the one that slew Goliath. This is our enemy. And he acts like a madman. And incredibly, it works. They just kind of dismiss him right off of hand. But really, he's in a rock and a hard place. And at the end of all this, we find David escaping to a cave all by himself. And it's in the midst of this that David writes this psalm that we just read, this Psalm 34, where he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." The major theme here in Psalm 34 for us as God's people is that our thankfulness as God's people, our thankfulness is found in our experiences of the goodness of the Lord in our lives in spite of the circumstances that we may find ourselves in. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think in 2020 that our thankfulness is not predicated upon whether or not we are getting the things that we think that we deserve? It's not predicated upon our present experiences right now, but it's our thankfulness stems from the goodness of God that we see in every area and every aspect of our lives. And that's what David is exclaiming here in this psalm. All by himself, he's in this cave. Defeat after defeat after defeat. He has to go to the point where he's feigning insanity to preserve his life. And he finds himself in this cave all alone. And he's inspired by God to say this: "I will bless the Lord at all times." I want to ask you this morning, is that the mindset that you have? Maybe you're at the bottom of the pit as far as your experiences in life right now. Maybe you've gotten to the point where you've said, it can't get any worse than this. It can't get any lower than this. Well, I'm thankful, however low we go in this world, our God is there with us. So David is going to show us this example of thankfulness. And I want us to just look at a few things here in these verses that we read this morning. But first I want us to see David giving us this call to thank the Lord. You may ask the question then, how am I able to thank God in the midst of my circumstances? Well, David in verse 1, he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." He says, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." Notice here, this first part of this psalm is heavy on the praise. He says, first of all, "I will bless the Lord at all times." And I want you to understand this morning, child of God, our blessings to the Lord are not to just be done when everything is going our way, but we're to bless the Lord in all areas of our lives, in all circumstances of our lives. I think sometimes we have the mistaken notion that our praise to the Lord is based on our current emotional state. What we're going to see here as David gives us this example is that his prayers are not based on his present circumstances. It's not based on how he feels at that moment. But you see, he has a habit of praising God in his life at all times. And he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Even after everything that he'd experienced, he says, "His praise shall be continually in my mouth." Now, it was real easy for David to say, "Praise the Lord," when Samuel came and anointed him. It was easy to bless the Lord when he was standing atop the giant Goliath with the enemy's sword in his hand. But now, when he's at rock bottom, he's still saying, "I will bless the Lord at all times." And notice, he says, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." But full disclosure this morning, I'm guilty of not praising the Lord many times when things are going well, when things are going good. If your season of Thanksgiving in your life is just limited to one day in a year, or 1 week in a year, or a couple of months in a year in November and December, you ain't praising God as much as you ought to, because David says, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Our praise is to be a continual praise. That tells me that our thanksgiving and praise unto God is to be habitual. When we wake up in the morning, we need to thank the Lord. Before we go to bed at night, we need to be thankful for His deliverance and be thankful everywhere in between. In Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah, remember, this is the chapter where we see the prophet speaking the judgment of God upon disobedient Israel, upon God's people that had turned away from Him. And there's much judgment in the book of Jeremiah, but in the midst of all of that, Jeremiah, he writes this, Jeremiah chapter 9, he says in verse 23, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth love and kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Jeremiah says, in the midst of all that's going on, your glory needs to be in the Lord. I think we glory when things are going well. We glory in our talents and our abilities and our achievements and in our attainments. And when that doesn't happen, we neglect to give anybody or anything the glory. In both circumstances, our glory is to be given to God. And he says, "I'm going to praise the Lord at all times." Well, why do you do that, David? Verse 4, going back to Psalm 34. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." David was saying here, "I praise the Lord continually because he's the one that saved me. He's the one that delivered me." Do you understand that this morning, my friend? You say, "Well, you don't understand what I'm going through." And you're right. I don't understand everyone's unique circumstances and difficulties. But what we do understand is the Lord has saved us and he's delivered us. We sang those hymns of praise this morning talking about the Lord delivering us eternally. And if he didn't deliver us out of any other worldly circumstances, we can still continually praise him, because this world is not our home and a heavenly home awaits us as God's people. He says, "The Lord has heard me and he's delivered me from all my fears." Now, what is that which we should fear the most? Not the things of this world, but separation from God. And he has saved us and he has delivered us. Oh, he goes on in verse 5, he says, "They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." What he's talking about is the blessings that God's people receive when they look upon them in their times of need, in their times of troubles. It says, "They looked upon him and they were lightened." This is talking about joy. This is talking about rejoicing. He says that God's people, when they look upon him, when they turn to him, there is joy and there's rejoicing. And I tend to think that this alludes to in the book of Exodus when Moses went up to the mount and communed with God up there. You know, he came down from the mount and he had to wear a mask during that time. Not because of COVID-19, but because he had seen the glory of God and his face shone in such a manner that the other people couldn't look upon his face. Can you imagine that? Well, we can enjoy that in some capacity as God's people in our difficulties when we look to him and when we praise him continually. We can have joy in the midst of pains and trials and difficulties. I'm thankful for those examples. I'm thankful for the examples that many of you have given in the midst of your circumstances and difficulties. We can have joy that's not because of our circumstances, not because of everything going our way, but we can have joy in the Lord who has saved us and delivered us from all of our fears. That's not just a promise to David. That's a promise for us all as God's people. And then he goes on and says this, "This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." We see David humbly coming before the Lord. He refers to himself as this poor man. Yeah. as God's people, in humility, we humble ourselves. We submit ourselves to God. And part of that submission is being thankful and praising Him when we don't feel like it. when our circumstances don't elicit an emotion of praise and thanksgiving, we're to still be praising Him continually. And then we see another reason that David was able to praise the Lord in verse 7. There's so many portions of this psalm should be familiar to us. But in verse 7, he says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." So we see David in the prior verses here saying that it's the Lord that has saved me. Now, what I believe David's referring to here is the providential care that God gives to His people. He says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him." David was saying, in spite of me having to flee my homeland, in spite of the most powerful man in Israel wanting to take my life, in spite of me having to go and scratch upon the gates of my enemies, that the Lord is still there with me. His hand is with me. And we may not be able to see it as we're going through the challenges of our lives, but child of God, we understand on the foundation of Scripture that our God is a providence-working God, and He is not disassociated from us. He's not disengaged. He's not just afar off watching everything transpire here in this world. He is with us, and David says that the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear Him. So take heart, child of God. While you're going through your present situation, the angels of the Lord are ministering according to the commandment of God the Father. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? God is providentially caring for you right now. And that's amazing to think about, that the providence of God is that powerful. He knows your individual case. He knows what you're going through, and He's protecting you. You know, David understood this. David trusted in God. You read later on in 1 Samuel chapter 23, it speaks about David being in the wilderness, verse 14. David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And it says this, notice, "And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand." Saul, with all of his resources, all of his armies, never captured David, never executed him out in the wilderness, never took him back to Jerusalem and publicly executed him for all to see. Why? Because God did not deliver David into the hand of Saul. That was not the will of God. Right. Never forget, my friends, our God is on His throne and He's ruling and He's intervening in the lives of His people. David says here, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear Him and delivereth them." We have these same promises, my friends, as God's people today. He'll go on in verse 10 and say this. He says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Well, who are the young lions that David is referring to here? Well, if you've ever watched PBS, the nature shows, or watched the Discovery Channels when they're out in the Serengeti, you know a little bit about lions, don't you? Lions are at the top of the food chain. And young lions are at the tippy top of the food chain. When things start going bad, we've all seen it play out on the nature programs. There's always seems like there's common watering hole where everybody has to go and get their water, and it never fails. Drought comes, the watering hole starts drying up, and animals start going after each other, don't they? And you watch it progress out, and you know the wildebeest get taken down, the gazelles get eaten, and it just keeps going on and on. And usually the last ones that are left standing are the lions. And the young lions, they're the ones that in difficult times will suffer the least because they're at the top of the food chain. But notice this. This is talking about very dire circumstances. Because notice what it says here. It says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger." When the lions go hungry, you know things have gotten bad. The condition has eroded greatly. But notice this, the Word of God says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now this doesn't say that the Lord is going to remove the difficulties, the droughts, the famines, the trials, but what it does say is He will provide for His people that which they need. You think about Elijah, the Lord providing in the midst of famine. The Lord providing in the midst of drought. It says, 17, verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Now, it doesn't say here that the Lord, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears them and delivers them in the way that they think they should be delivered. That's the way we enter into difficulty sometimes. Well, if the Lord doesn't handle my problem and the way that I think it should be handled, then the Lord must not hear me. Or the Lord must not care about me. Well, the thing is, the Lord's way is far greater than our ways. And far His wisdom far extends the little bit that I have. And He says, the Lord delivers. He does. He delivers us out of all of our troubles. Now, we need to trust in the Lord and His deliverances and trust that He knows what's best for us. What we do, we don't seek the Lord with these promises. We get mad. We get bitter. We separate ourselves. We recoil when the Lord doesn't answer prayers according to our timeline and the way that we think that He should. But we need to understand from the Word of God, our Lord is protecting us in the midst of our struggles. And I firmly believe we're going to have circumstances in our lives that we're not going to understand probably until we're in His presence. And we're not going to have the curtain pulled back, if you will, until we're in glory with Him. But we by faith are to trust that He is the one that's going to deliver us. And then notice here as we go on, we see this call to praise. And we see the reason we're to praise God. He saved us. He's delivered us. He's the God that extends a providential hand towards His people and delivers us and meets our needs. But notice what He says here in verse 8. A very unique verse of Scripture, and one for a long time that, you know, I knew what it said, but it made me scratch my head a little bit. But it says here in verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Taste and see the Lord is good. You know, we can, you know, we think about God. We can recognize the blessings of God. We can think about and ponder and meditate upon the blessings of God. We can study God's Word. We can verbally affirm God's Word. Yes, I believe God's Word. But what does it mean to taste and see that the Lord is good? I think what He's saying here is that we as God's people, we are called and we have the wonderful privilege to experience the goodness of God in our lives. Now you just think about a natural sense. I could tell you about my Thanksgiving dinner and what I had for Thanksgiving. You know, I had Thanksgiving turkey and my favorite meal in Thanksgiving is mustard greens. My grandmother makes mustard greens and I can make a meal out of that. I could tell you about that. I could tell you about the biscuits that I ate. But is it the same as experiencing it for yourselves? You know, I can tell you all about Brother David's biscuits and how good they are and how much we enjoyed them. But is it like experiencing it? There's a difference, isn't it? Yeah, you think about sports. You know, the Gators played football yesterday, and I could tell you about the football game. I could give you the score of the Gator football team and how they whooped up on Tennessee. Sorry, Brother Dan. I could tell you about, you know, everything that happened, play-by-play analysis, but is it like being there in person and experiencing it? Even if you're not a football fan, the experience is incredible. It's different. And what David is saying here in our lives, yes, we can recognize the goodness of God. We can meditate and think about the goodness of God. We can study and see historically and contextually from God's Word His works in the lives of His people. We can affirm that. But what a wonderful blessing. We can experience it personally in our lives. And he's saying that we're to draw upon those experiences and think about how he's delivered you in times past and how he has worked for your good, and he's taken you out of situations that were seemingly impossible. David says here, as God's people, we have the privilege and the blessing to experience the goodness of God. And I don't know about you, it doesn't take very long to start recollecting all of the experiences of my life and see the hand of God in it. The reality is, without the grace of God and the hand of God in our lives, we would have all probably taken ourselves out long ago with some stupid decision that we've made. Or we would have taken ourselves down a path that would really for sure be destructive to us. But David says, no, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see. We have our own experiences. Aren't you thankful that our God is not detached? Aren't you thankful that our faith and our religion is not just a head faith? Now, that doesn't mean that we check our brains at the door when we get here. We're to study God's Word. We should affirm God's Word, meditate upon God's Word. But I'm thankful that we serve a God that's actively involved in our lives, and we can rejoice when we see His hand in our lives. He says the young lions do lack. And he goes on. But he says, those that seek the Lord will not want. Verse 9. Oh, fear ye the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Again, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek after the Lord shall not want anything. It says, shall not want for anything. Our God is going to provide all that we need in this world. Now, again, we may think that we need something else, but that does not do away with it says here that the Word of God promises that God is going to provide us with that which we need. And David, it's amazing. This is David as a young man when we read in Psalm 34, his experiences there as he goes into the land of their enemies. And even as an old man, David continued to trust in this promise. Some of David's last words were the same thing. He says, I have been young, but I'm now old. Yeah. And what did he say? Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In Psalm 37, David would say, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. You know, we may not have everything that we want in this world or think that we want or think that we need, but God will give us that stuff that we actually need. He will give us the grace sufficient for our trials, give us the grace sufficient for our difficulties, and what a good God we serve. Then he goes on, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. See, this all centers around reverencing the Lord as we ought, doesn't it? And the fear of the Lord is the healthy response when we ponder and meditate upon the goodness of God. In fact, that we should replace our struggles, our fears in our present circumstances, we need to replace that with reverential fear for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has delivered us. So David says, come you children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Then he asks this question in verse 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? You know, what he's saying here, for the child of God, what are the ingredients to live a godly, fulfilled life in this world? And who doesn't want that today? We see so many people today that, you know, they amass more and more of the world's goods and they seem to be less and less satisfied and more miserable. David's going to show us here where fulfillment should come from. Verse 13, he answers the question, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. He's saying here that as God's people, it comes from faithful obedience in the midst of difficulties and trials. What does human nature want to do when things are not going our way? Murmur and complain. If we're not murmuring and complaining against someone else, we're murmuring and complaining against God and complaining about our circumstances, our lot in life. David says, here is what we're to do. Keep your tongue from evil. Don't let your default be complaining and negativity. He says, keep your lips from speaking guile, depart from evil and do good. It says, seek peace, which this is something that we actively have to do, and pursue it. And that is so hard, but God will bless us. There is fulfillment in that that this world will not offer us. And then he goes on very quickly. We have this wonderful assurance of God's goodness when we do this. Well, we see the goodness of God in verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries. Brother David said in his introductory remarks, we know that we are not righteous because of our behavior, because of our ability, because of our actions. We know that we're righteous because of Jesus, because of what he did for us on the cross, because of him laying down his life for our sins. We were made righteous in the eyes of God. And it says here that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Again, you think about our God being a providential God, and now we see his eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord, notice this. We have the other side of that. We have the Lord fighting battles for us. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You want to wonder why Saul was not able to catch David? Because the Lord was in David's fate, working in David's life, and the Lord was against evil Saul. Why the king of Gath didn't throw David in the dungeon, and why he just dismissed him was because the Lord is against them that do evil, and to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Now it doesn't say some of their troubles. The mercies and the goodness of the Lord, it's not a commodity that can be depleted. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? You know, I can give you of my resources, but they will only go so far. My resources won't get you very far at all. But the resources of God are never depleted, and he delivers his people out of all of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And then he says this, and this is the great comfort that we have as God's people. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Some people will just try to conveniently ignore the afflictions of life, but experience tells us that there are afflictions that we have to endure in this world. Unimaginable afflictions. Sometimes you think, well, things just can't get any worse than they are now. But they can, because we live in a world where there are many afflictions. This world has been cursed. This world has been perverted by sin. Afflictions abound in this world. And that's one of the wonderful blessings. This is a testimony that this is the inspired word of God, because it tells us the truth. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it doesn't end there, does it? The Lord delivereth him out of them all. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Our Lord delivers us from our afflictions. Again, if we are enduring the afflictions of this world, the ultimate deliverance is that we leave this world and we awake in his presence. But I'm thankful he's faithful to give us the grace that we need through the trials of this world, and see us through the difficult times, to see us through the loss, to see us through the disappointments, to see us through even those messes that we make of things. On many occasions, our Lord is able to deliver us. Right. He watches over all of his people. He delivers us, and I'm thankful he's the one that makes all things right. He's coming back someday, and he's going to make us make all of these challenges and difficulties. He's going to make it right someday. Right. And then we have, as we end this psalm, I believe what we have here is a wonderful prophecy of, again, where the source of our strength is. Notice, he keepeth, verse 20, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the souls of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I believe what we have here, we have some prophetic language that David took great comfort from. David knowing that there was a Redeemer that was greater than him. There was a king that was going to be greater than himself, greater than any other king of the world. And notice this, he says in verse 20, he keepeth all his bones and not one of them is broken. It says, evil shall slay the wicked and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Well, who's he referring to? He says in verse 22, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. My friends, David had a hope in a Messiah. David had a hope in one that was going to come and do what he was unable to do, and that was to right all of the wrongs, to come and live a perfect, sinless life for his people. And that's what we celebrate. That is the foundation of our thanksgiving. And that was the foundation of David's, that the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. And none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Our Lord loves us. Our Lord cares for us. We fail. We make a mess of things. We suffer because of wicked men in this world. We have many afflictions, but we have deliverance because Jesus Christ, he came into the world and he was the once for all sacrifice for our sins. That's a wonderful blessing. You know, he was the sacrifice for us. He was the lamb. He was the lamb without spot and without blemish. You go back to the Old Testament time, they were to bring that lamb. That lamb was not to have blemishes in. And the bones of that lamb was not to be broken. Well, Jesus Christ fulfilled that when he came into this world. He suffered for our sins, but not a bone of his body was broken, was it? He did what he came to this world to do, to redeem his people. Now, we've got a lot of difficulties and a lot of challenges, but we've got far more that we can be in the habit of continually praising the Lord for, don't we? I pray that we would be thankful in spite of the great difficulties of this life. May the Lord add his blessing.
Amen. Thank you. Brother Jay, would you gather a hymn for us?